You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Gaming Podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
Welcome to Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Gaming Podcast. Each week, I, John Wall, will bring you the latest gaming impressions, news, and industry happenings delivered to you in under 15 minutes to fit your busy life. On today's bonus episode, we'll be talking about yesterday's Summer Game Fest event. And if you haven't yet subscribed to the show, please take a moment to do so. And I would also love to hear your feedback, which you can do by leaving a review wherever you're listening to today's episode. You can also find the show and join in on the conversation by finding us on Twitter or Facebook, where we go by Midlife SQ. So after years of publishers pulling out and COVID cancellations, E3 appears to finally be gasping its final breath, and Jeff Keighley has excitedly jumped in to claim the crown. Like some character in Game of Thrones, Keighley has been lurking in the shadows for years, plotting its demise and making his own plans to rule the gaming kingdom. Well, that day is finally here, Jeff. This is your moment. E3 is dead. Long live Summer Game Fest. So after being E3's cheerleader for many years, Jeff Keighley parted ways with the event back in 2020, and he's made no secret about his distaste for the way that the organization has been run the last few years. He quickly announced Summer Game Fest as the would-be successor, as E3's star has faded over the years. That is what you get when you try and podcast with cats in the room. You know what? I'm leaving it. I'm just leaving it. To hell with it. But the first few attempts at a big Summer Game Fest event show have felt underwhelming so far. This has really been the first year where Summer Game Fest has felt like a true event worthy of taking that mantle. The gaming elite have gathered in Los Angeles, and last night was the kickoff of the big show, and what will be the first of many events over the next week to showcase what's coming up in gaming. I obviously won't have time to cover all of the games that were shown and announced, but I have picked the ones that stood out the most to me, so let's just jump right in. They kicked things off with a brand new reveal from Ubisoft, and that was Prince of Persia: The Lost Crown. A cool-looking 2D side-scroller. There has obviously been the remake of Prince of Persia: Sands of Time, which has had a very troubled development, and it did not look good when they've shown it off and was recently delayed, I believe, indefinitely. So I was not expecting anything Prince of Persia related. So this was a surprise to see, and I thought it looked really cool. I like the art style. It kind of felt a little bit like in that Sands of Time, you know, universe. And I like a good, you know, action side scroller. So this is coming out on January 24th. I don't know if they're planning on showing off more at the Ubisoft Forward event, which is this coming Monday, but I am excited to see more from this game. Next, they showed Mortal Kombat 1, which was kind of the marquee game that they had been touting before the show, the first gameplay look at Mortal Kombat. And my opinion comes from somebody who isn't really a big Mortal Kombat fan, other than playing the first couple of games, like the original games when they came out. You know, I think I played maybe the first two or three games back on, you know, the Super Nintendo or whatever that was. And I liked them back then, and I've kind of loosely followed the series since then. And even as someone who isn't a Mortal Kombat big fan or even a fighting game fan in general, I gotta say what they did show looked impressive. I like the idea of them doing a reboot of the series that really kind of plays on some of your expectations and the relationships between the different characters. I think visually it looked pretty cool. I think the storytelling looks more interesting than your average fighting game. You know, I'm not a huge gore guy, so the fatalities, you know, they're gross. They're real gross. But I think Mortal Kombat fans are going to eat this up. I think this will make them very, very happy. And it's got Jean-Claude Van Damme, so how could you not? One of my favorite moments from the show was when they brought out the one and only Nicolas Cage for his upcoming appearance in Dead by Daylight. And when I say it's one of my favorite moments of the show, not because of the game, because let's be honest, when they showed the game itself, I'm probably not going to play that. But I just like me some Nicolas Cage, and he did great, I think, on stage. He was charismatic. You know, sometimes when they put a celebrity up on these stages, they are very scripted and wooden, and, you know, you can tell that they don't really care or they don't want to be there. But he genuinely seemed, you know, excited about this experience and enthusiastic and just, you know, he seemed like a good guy, and he came across very well on the stage. So that was a fun moment. That was a fun surprise. I'm not going to play Dead by Daylight, but I'm glad to see Nicolas Cage in the gaming world. One game that I will probably play is Sonic Superstars, which is a retro style. I mean, it's a Sonic the Hedgehog side scroller like the original games, but they have modernized it in a lot of ways. It's got some really cool graphics. It has 4-player co-op, it looks like. And it just really looks like they're doing some inventive things gameplay wise. I like Sonic. I like those old games. You know, I was always more of a Mario guy, but I appreciated those games for what they were. And I've been waiting for a return to a great 2D Sonic the Hedgehog game. And I think this could be it. This could be it. It definitely looks very interesting. I really dig the visuals. Alan Wake 2 is one of my most anticipated games of this year, and we got an extended gameplay sequence of this, which shows the new character Saga. That's a weird name. As she is investigating this this cabin or this old shack and is attacked by this hulking monstrosity with deer antler mask. And it was very tense and it was very creepy and it scared the crap out of me when that deer jumped out. I can't wait. I loved the first game. I think I probably should go back and replay it just to freshen up my memory of that story. Remedy is becoming one of my favorite developers. Obviously, I loved Quantum Break and Alan Wake and Control was one of my favorite games the year that it came out, and I just think they're on a roll. I think they are really hitting their stride, and I think Alan Wake 2 looks absolutely great. Sony, or specifically Insomniac, came out and talked a bit about Spider-Man 2. And while we didn't really get another look at the game, they showed a little bit of footage that had been shown at the recent Sony event. So that was a little bit of a disappointment. I would have loved to see some new gameplay there. They did show off some new pieces of concept art from the game, which was fine. And more importantly, they gave us a release date of October 20th. I had mentioned before that I was a little bit nervous because at the Sony event, they were still just saying fall, which made me think, if they're still not nailing down a date, I wonder if it'll actually make it. But they went ahead, they pulled the trigger, they said they feel confident. October 20th is when we're going to be playing Spider-Man 2. I'm excited. Spider-Man, the original, was great fun. Miles Morales was fantastic. And combining those two, I think it's going to be undoubtedly the best PlayStation game of the year. One of my favorite surprises was a game called Under the Waves, which I don't recall the developer behind it, but it is an indie game about a man who is living at the bottom of the ocean. It looks like he is in charge of monitoring and repairing these lines and machines at the bottom of the ocean. I don't know if they're like oil pipelines or electrical lines or communication lines or what they are, but he is living down there to take care of this, and it looks like he has been down there for, I think it says, a couple of years now, and it looks like there's a lot of ocean exploration, and there's a mystery about whether there is someone or something also down there with him, and it kind of looked in the trailer that there might be a mystery about, you know, whether or not he is starting to lose his mind a little bit from being down there for so long. The voice acting seemed really solid. It seemed like a cool story. I like a cool indie that comes out of nowhere. So Under the Waves is absolutely on my radar now. And finally, they wrapped up the show with the premiere of Final Fantasy Rebirth, the part two of, I think they've said three, of the Final Fantasy remake reimagining project. It's also coming out on two discs, by the way, which was maybe the funniest thing about that trailer. So weird. But it looks good. It does look good. I, you know, was somewhat lukewarm on the first part of this remake. I thought it was overly long, like they kind of stuffed it with too much filler. The story got a lot of got kind of convoluted, which, you know, that's Final Fantasy VII. And it just kind of, my interest kind of fizzled towards the end of that game. So I'm hoping that this one is a little bit better paced, feels a little more brisk as I'm playing through it, and is, you know, maybe a little easier to understand. I don't have high hopes that that's going to be the case. You know, I feel like as I have gotten older, my tolerance for, let's say, anime BS storytelling has waned a bit, so I don't know if it's going to resonate with me quite the way it probably would have 20 years ago when I was younger. But I'm definitely gonna give it a shot. I'm definitely gonna continue. I may have to replay the first part just to kind of remember what the heck happened. But we finally've seen it. It's real. It's coming. They're saying early next year, early 24. So who knows? That's kind of vague, but it shouldn't be too much longer. So yeah, that was the opening of Summer Game Fest. I think it was a pretty solid show. Nothing that truly like, oh my God, blew my mind, but there were a lot of really good games. I think the show was paced well. It wasn't overly long. There weren't too many, you know, crappy mobile game filler commercials. You know, I think this show has gotten better and better with each iteration. And I'm excited for Summer Game Fest. I really don't think E3 is coming back at all. So this is what we get now. This is the future. And I think he's finally getting the hang of it. Thank you so much for listening to Midlife Side Quest. I hope you enjoyed this special bonus episode of the show. And maybe we'll do another one for one of the upcoming showcases. You never know. And don't forget that you can catch a new episode every Thursday morning wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you enjoyed the show, you can show your support by subscribing and leaving a review. And you can follow the show on Twitter and Facebook, where we go by Midlife SQ. So until next time, be well and keep playing.